When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The latest jobs report shows strong hiring and wage growth, but it's also stoking fears the labor market may be overheating. What that means for the Federal Reserve.
So the big question now is really, will the Fed do a supersized half percentage point interest rate increase in May? And the report from the Labor Department here gives them a green light to do a half point increase if they want to.
And Amazon workers in New York vote to form the company's first union, what it means for the e-commerce giant. Plus, why eternal bragging rights will be on the line this weekend in the men's Final Four. It's Friday, April 1st. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. U.S. employers added 431,000 jobs in March, marking the 11th straight month of job gains above 400,000 and the longest stretch of growth in records dating back to 1939. The unemployment rate also fell more to 3.6%, nearing pre-pandemic levels. Our labor economics reporter, Sarah Cheney Cambon, says it's a sign the labor market continues to strengthen.
The March jobs report showed us that payrolls growth was really strong this spring, which is a positive. It means that employers who are really hungry to hire workers are able to. There are a lot of people who have been streaming back into the workforce and looking for a job. However, the downside of really low unemployment can be that you get really strong wage growth that can overheat and trigger inflationary pressures. And so there is some concern that that could happen.
We'll have more on how the jobs report could impact the Federal Reserve's plans to raise interest rates this year in just a few minutes. In New York City, Amazon workers at a warehouse on Staten Island voted to form the tech giant's first union in the U.S. The vote was tight. More than 2,600 employees were in favor of organizing, about 2,100 against. Our reporter Allison Prang says it's a significant milestone for unions, considering the company's massive body of warehouse workers.
Labor leaders are going to sing the praises of this, just like they did with when we saw in Buffalo, New York, workers voted to unionize a Starbucks store up there. It's going to be really interesting to see if this vote translates into a groundswell of support around the country for Amazon workers wanting to unionize other warehouses and other parts of Amazon. We've seen something happen like that with Starbucks. We've seen the Buffalo unionization effort really spread out all around the U.S.
Workers at another Amazon facility on Staten Island will hold their unionization vote later this month. Last year, workers at a warehouse in Alabama overwhelmingly voted against organizing, but the labor board ordered a recount. The National Labor Relations Board says the tallies in that recount election were close enough to require a hearing in the coming weeks. Leaders from the European Union and China clashed over the war in Ukraine during a video call summit today. The EU is pressing Beijing to do more to end the war. But after a two-hour call, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said the two sides, quote, exchanged very clearly opposing views. She said Beijing offered no assurances about its stance. In its summary of the meeting, issued as it was still occurring, China's official Xinhua news agency said President Xi Jinping underscored the need for China and the EU to increase communication, including on major issues like the war in Ukraine. Meanwhile, several Western nations are joining the U.S. in tapping their strategic oil reserves in a bid to lower energy prices as the war in Ukraine continues. The International Energy Agency, whose members include the U.S., most of Europe, Canada, Mexico, Japan, and South Korea, is set to announce how much oil it plans to release early next week. The West is seeking to replace Russian oil with supplies from other sources as part of sanctions against Moscow for its invasion of Ukraine more than a month ago. And U.S. auto sales slowed this quarter. General Motors and Toyota both reported double-digit declines year over year. Analysts are predicting first quarter sales for the industry could drop as much as 16%. Our autos reporter Nora Eckert says the main culprit is a supply crunch.
We've been seeing this for months and months, but it's really hitting hard this quarter, and especially when we're comparing it to the first quarter of 2021, where we had, you know, a much greater inventory and buyers were flocking to lots to snatch up vehicles in a recovery market. So we're really seeing this crunch now. And for some automakers, the war in Ukraine and recent factory shutdowns in China are just exacerbating an already chaotic situation.
Coming up, how the latest jobs report could impact the path of interest rate hikes this year. More on what will go into the Federal Reserve's calculations after the break.
Join the Wall Street Journal at the Future of Everything Festival on May 21st to 23rd in New York City, where diverse global newsmakers share unique perspectives on navigating a changing world. Immerse yourself in live performances, explore pioneering technologies, and indulge in the city's inventive culinary scene. As a podcast listener, enjoy 20% off current ticket rates with code PODCAST. Visit wsj.com/FOEF podcast to secure your spot.
U.S. employers are hiring at a brisk pace, and the unemployment rate is nearing pre-pandemic levels. But there are some worries, namely that record-high job openings and higher wages could further fuel inflation. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell expressed concerns about that earlier this month when the central bank moved to raise interest rates for the first time since 2018. So, what does the latest jobs report mean for the Fed's path going forward? Joining me now with more is Wall Street Journal Chief Economics Correspondent Nick Timmerose. Hi, Nick. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Nick, overall, we saw strong hiring last month, but this is actually something that could pose a challenge for the Fed, which is closely eyeing whether or not this economy right now is overheating. Can you explain those dynamics for us?
Well, the Fed is concerned about inflation running too high. And initially, the Fed thought that was primarily happening because of a shortage of goods, leading to extreme price pressures for a handful of things like used cars and new cars. But the concern now is that inflation is broadening to include a broader range of goods and also services. And if you think about the services that we purchase, whether it's haircuts or restaurant meals, those are things where labor is the main expense. And so when you begin to see pressures driving wages higher, that adds to the Fed's concern that inflation is going to be harder to get out of the economy than if it were just rising because of some idiosyncratic price increases for things like used cars.
Now, how does the Fed usually handle these dueling mandates of achieving maximum employment while keeping inflation near the target 2%? We know that inflation hasn't been near that Fed target for quite some time now.
Well, sometimes, as you note, the mandates can be in conflict. Right now, they're not. Right now, you have very strong employment and very high inflation. And so the Fed will look at that and say, obviously, we need to raise interest rates. Right now, interest rates are just below a half percentage point. And the Fed thinks that a neutral rate, which would be where you're no longer providing stimulus, but you're not necessarily stepping on the brakes, they think that's somewhere between 2 and 3%. So we're nowhere near their estimates of what a neutral rate would be. So right now, the Fed is on a clear path to get interest rates up this year to something around 2%, give or take. The question is going to be, what do you do after that if the economy is still standing strong and inflation is still coming in high? Inflation results when there is an imbalance of supply and demand. The Fed can't do anything about supply of oil, shortages of cars. They can't fix the supply side of the economy. So the only way for them to really bring supply and demand into balance in the short run is to reduce demand. And that's what would begin to happen once they get interest rates to neutral. If they decide to keep raising interest rates, they would be trying to deliberately slow down the economy, destroying demand, weakening the job market in order to get inflation to come down.
So we know that the Fed is planning to raise interest rates several times this year. What does the latest data from the jobs report mean for how Fed officials might proceed at their next meeting in May?
The big question at the May meeting is not whether the Fed will raise interest rates, it's by how much. Traditionally, when the Fed raises interest rates, they move in just a quarter percentage point increment. But there are times when the data might call for a larger increase, a half percentage point increase. Now, the Fed has not raised interest rates by a half percentage point since 2000, but we haven't been in an environment where inflation's this high and where the unemployment rate is this low. You know, when the unemployment rate fell to this half century low level in 2018 and 2019, inflation was at 2%. So the big question now is really, will the Fed do a supersized half percentage point interest rate increase in May? And the report from the Labor Department here gives them a green light to do a half point increase if they want to.
And what does the latest jobs report mean for the Fed's plans to unwind its $9 trillion asset portfolio?
The Fed has two tools that they've used to provide stimulus, which is cutting interest rates. During the crisis, they cut rates to zero. And then after that, they purchase longer-term bonds and mortgage-backed securities, again, to push rates even lower. Now, as they're unwinding their stimulus, they're raising interest rates, but they're also preparing at their May meeting to announce a plan to shrink the asset holdings to allow that stimulus to reverse. And so it's very likely that the Fed will begin to do that. And it's a double-barreled form of policy tightening. It's not something that the Fed has a lot of experience with because they've only done this one other time after they expanded their asset portfolio during the after the 2008 recession. They unwound it a little bit in 2017, 18, and 19. Now they're talking about more aggressively running down the securities holdings in that portfolio. So it's very much going to be trial and error. Wait and see. Fed Chair Jay Powell is talking about being humble and nimble. And that suggests that, you know, the Fed is doing something they don't have a lot of experience doing, which is to bring inflation down when it's way above its target, possibly raising rates a lot more than they have in the last two decades, all while shrinking their asset portfolio.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal Chief Economics Correspondent Nick Timiraos. Nick, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks, Anne-Marie.
And finally, there are bitter rivalries in sports. The Lakers and the Celtics, the Yankees and the Red Sox, and in college basketball, Duke versus University of North Carolina, the Blue Devils and the Tar Heels. They face off twice a year in the regular season, but this weekend, the two will meet in the Final Four. It's the first time they've ever gone head-to-head in the NCAA tournament. And our Wall Street Journal sports reporter Ben Cohen says there's even more on the line.
They are meeting in the Final Four on Saturday night with a spot in the national championship game on the line, eternal bragging rights at stake, and in a unique twist this year, North Carolina has the opportunity to end Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski's career. Coach K, who is the winningest coach in the history of men's college basketball, announced before this season that he is retiring. So if he wins on Saturday night, he will have a chance to retire on top in the national championship game on Monday. If he loses, his career will be over, and the school that will have ended it is the North Carolina Tar Heels, the Duke Blue Devils rival. So there's a lot at stake here.
And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Luke Vargas. The show was produced by Anthony Bansi, Kate Bullivant, and Mohsen Ali, with help from Julie Chang, Zoe Thomas, and J.R. Whalen, and editorial support from Kateri Yoakum, Michael Cosmides, and Chris Sinsley. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.